And I'm sure that that is an artist and a playlist that is on high rotation for Craig Gabriel, who joins us covering the US Open in 2020. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, but her friends call her Ally.
Do they?
Yep.
Do you consider yourself a friend?
Close one.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Ally, is that right? Well, you couldn't call her Pinky, could you? Hey, Pinky, that's not going to work, is it?
That'd be a bit blue, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we can't be doing that. Ally's much nicer. I'm happy with Ally. Happy birthday, Ally, 41 today. Make sure you send her a text from your close friends list on your phone, Craig.
There you go. Yeah.
Now, let's start with yesterday and the wash-up from the defaulting of the number one seed, the men's favourite, Novak Djokovic. What's happened in the last 24 hours, Craig?
In the last 24 hours, the finalist came out, and he's been fined an additional $10,000 for the default and skipping the press conference, etc. So that goes into on top of the fact that he loses all his prize money, which is $250,000. So that's what's developed. I mean, he hasn't said anything more other than the statement he put out on social media. Probably, I'm trying to think, maybe a couple of hours after the incident, because half an hour after the incident, he was leaving the courts. I saw him getting into his car to leave the site. So that's pretty much it. There's nothing more has been said by him or officials after that.
Okay, so the players talking about him? I heard Sam Groth talking about the fact that the biggest error outside of the whacking the ball into the lunch person's neck was the fact that he didn't stay around and face the music and do the presser. Is that the biggest issue?
Yeah, that certainly was an issue. Serena Williams was actually just asked about it, and she said, "I'm not touching that," considering that she's been close in that situation a few times. She wouldn't comment. Other players have said, yes, it's sad, it's disappointing, but the right decision was made. ESPN television did a no-no yesterday, absolutely wrong, and I called them out on this on Twitter, and things did change. Didn't realize I had that much power, but they put up a tweet that Nick Kyrgios had done, and the tweet that they originally put up had no relevance to what happened yesterday. The particular tweet they put up was relating to Djokovic, but it was one that Kyrgios had put up about a week ago, not yesterday. And eventually they put the one that he tweeted yesterday up on the screen.
Right, yes, okay. The poll. Had a lot of traction with the poll, did Nick, yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
now, Craig, I want to talk...
That was yesterday, but the previous one was from at least a week ago. But anyway, go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, no, I want to talk about Alex de Minaur because it is a big achievement. Now, I know that there are a number of big-name players that are not participating in the US Open, but the reality is you've got to take the most of your opportunity, and Alex has certainly done that. It was a really impressive performance overnight.
Yeah, absolutely. I watched the entire match. He was in a bit of trouble, certainly in the first set. They level pegged, got to the tie break, and then Bajic Pospisil really started to hit out and opened up this 6-2 lead in that tie break. But Alex, as he said afterwards, it wasn't as if I was playing badly, but he said I just managed to lift things enough, get a look in, and that's when Pospisil started to crumble. And the points started going Dimino's way. 6 points in a row. And that totally changed the complexion of the match. He got that first set under his belt, to claim 6 points in a row when your opponent has got was holding four set points. That sort of gets to you mentally. And then Alex went up 5-1 in the second set before closing that 6-3. And the third set was pretty comfortable, 6-2. So some solid stuff from Dimonor. His unforced error count was very low. He was solid on that. Maybe needed to pick up things a little bit on the serve, but that's not to have a dig at him or anything like that. The fact is he got through. He worked very well mentally and played a solid match.
7-6, 6-3, 6-2.
Yeah, that is a comprehensive win. It is fascinating, Craig, when you look at the quarterfinal matchups, and there's still a few to be worked out as to what they're going to be. But it feels like almost like a next-gen, ATP next-gen final series with, you know, there's going to be a new winner. Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be a new winner. So I'm really interested to see who is going to sort of hold their nerve and take the opportunity that presents, because there is no Djokovic, there is no Federer, there is no Nadal when we get to the final eight.
Absolutely. And this is what I think has actually become very fascinating about this men's draw, when you break it all down. You know, by the way, I should just say, the Dimino's next opponent, they're on court at the moment. Domi, team, looks like he's got command of Felix Auger-Aliassime. He's up 2 sets to love, 6-1 in the second set. But what I think is fascinating about this is that for the first time at the majors, we're going to see a player born in the 1990s or later winning the championship. That has not happened before. So I think that's a fascinating aspect. The other side of it is that a brand new title holder, a brand new champion for the majors. We haven't seen that in a long time when you consider the dominance of the big three. So the way it was put to me by a friend of mine who's a manager, and I'm not going to name the person, but he said, Roger and Rafa are probably filthy with Novak because they left him the keys for the Grand Slam club. Now he's lost that down the drain. And what could end up happening is one of these young guys is going to get a taste of winning a major, and suddenly the floodgates are going to open, and it's going to possibly become even tougher for one of those big three to keep on dominating or winning majors.
Well, that would be a good thing for the men's game, I think. We need that, Craig. We need that diversity of success in the men's game, I reckon. It's a bit like F1 at the moment. You know, Lewis Hamilton's going to win, and that's not good.
Look, you know, of the guys that are left, I mean, certainly Daniil Medvedev and Dominic Thiem, they're both on Dimonor's side, would be the front runners, because both of them have reached the finals of majors, even though they've never won. And I think this is the first time I've got to look at my notes, that the quarterfinals will not have a major winner from one of the other major titles, if you get what I'm saying. It's all brand new. So, but Thiem and Medvedev have been in finals at the majors. Medvedev last year here in New York, Thiem twice at the French, and this year at the Australian Open. So, you know, they'd be the front runners, and maybe the next one after them would be Alexander Zverev.
Well, what we know from the women's draw is that someone who's won one will be there. Serena Williams through to the quarters this morning after defeating my girl, Maria Sakkari, in 3 sets. Did she have a chance, Maria?
Yeah, look, my girl too, because I really like Maria Sakkari. Yes, she did have a chance. This was not an easy one. I thought, okay, once Serena won the first set, maybe she was going to pick it up a bit more, because the last time they played just a couple of weeks ago, Sakkari won. And then Sakkari got into the match, won the second set, was up 2-love, had a couple of opportunities in the third. But eventually the score to Serena was 6-3, 6-7, 6-3. And you could see that it was a lot of relief for Serena with the screaming that she had at the end of the match to secure the win. So, I think a lot of weight came off her shoulders with that one.
So she'll play Peronkova, who's come back from 3 years away from the game and just walked into the quarterfinals.
Well, Svetlana probably should have won that match against Elise Cornet, who can be really testy and picky in straight sets. But it did, you know, marks to Cornet for coming back and winning the second. But Svetlana Peronkova, 6-4, 6-7, 6-3. I like her. She's really sweet. And what we're also going to see now is a quarterfinal match between two mothers, Peronkova and Williams. So I think that's also another little interesting sidebar on this whole thing. You know, there are three mothers left in the women's championships, Vika Azarenka being the other one, and she's playing later.
Will she win?
Well, who? Vika win?
Yeah, Vika, yeah.
I think she might. She's playing Karolina Muskova, who's the 20th seed. And Azarenka said she's a very good opponent. It's going to be difficult. But the way Vika is playing, I think she's on an eight-match win streak at the moment. I think certainly that confidence could very well see her get through. I'd love to see her win. She's looking fresh. She's looking really happy. And that's nice.
Just need a bit more red fill action in the player's box and she'd be fine.
No, that's a well over and done with. But her little boy Leo is with her, and he really is a dead ringer for his mother. But I'm not mad on the fact that she puts a top-of-the-head ponytail on the kid.
Oh, I'd like to do that to my head, Craig. I can't do that these days. I can't do that these days. Now, I need to let you go because you've got to go text Ali and wish her a happy 41st. Make sure you do that. Well, we look forward to
yours best.
Send her my best as well. I've lost her number. We'll look forward to chatting to you tomorrow. Thank you very much.
All right, see ya.
Craig Gabriel covering the US Open. For